We have in our studio Mr. Vince Mormian is the candidate for the ADQ political party for the riding of St. Francis. And this is part two of the interview we had. Good morning, Mr. Mormian.
Morning. It's great to be with you.
Great. Now, what we left on the first interview, we didn't talk, or you didn't talk, about the education programs. So could you explain to our listener what the ADQ intend to do if elected in Quebec?
All right. Well, we touched on it briefly, but on our education program in general, we'd like to start by abolishing school boards. And a lot of people think this is a sort of peculiar proposal. However, our concern is that school boards, in the elections that they have, you know, most of the school boards are only elected by 10% of the population, in other cases, even less. And we actually think it adds an unnecessary layer of bureaucracy to the schools. What we would like to see is we abolish those school boards, save $125 million a year in expenses that the school boards have, and we can use that in the schools themselves to provide those schools with programs for sports, for arts, or provide those schools with better classrooms and better equipment.
I see. This investment or the saving of the $125 million you're talking about will be reinvested into actually in school by itself. But who will be the key person or organization responsible for school? Will it be strictly the Ministry of Education, or will it be cities like in the past? If we go back 40, 50 years ago, municipality were responsible for school.
Yeah. So, well, and what we would like to see is we'd like to see it spread out between the school itself, between the municipality itself, and between the Ministry of Education. And I think one of the sort of very telling things that we usually come back on is during the last winter that we had a lot of snowstorms. And what would end up happening is, I guess, a lot of the roofs wouldn't get shoveled. And one of the funniest things that we saw happening, and it was the best example of school board bureaucracy, was the principals of the schools didn't know whether or not they should shovel the roofs, and waited until the head of the school board came to tell them whether or not they should shovel the roofs. And what we want, basically, is the principal to be able to say himself, this roof needs to be shoveled, let's shovel it and let's spend and get it shoveled, or the municipality to make that decision themselves. And we think that decision will be made a lot quicker, a lot more efficiently, and a lot of people will be better off because of it.
So it will avoid situation like it did happen in the past, where there was a lack of communication between,
exactly,
for example, the transport. In some part of Quebec, there were school that were closed, mm-hmm, but all the children were being picked up by the transport and,
yep,
brought to school, but the school was closed. And so it's to avoid, as an example, some of those situations, which especially in our climate in wintertime when it's minus 40, it's not that quite comfortable in those,
yeah,
yellow buses. Well, this is something which is quite interesting for the IDQ. Now, in the program of as far as caregiver, we spoke.
Why don't I give you a little bit more to go on in education? Do you mind?
Yeah.
Okay.
Certainly.
Because we have a couple of other sort of unique proposals that the other parties aren't proposing and aren't even discussing. I spoke a little bit about sports and all arts programs, mm-hmm, and we think that's important because of the school dropout rates. And especially dropout rates around guys. I did a debate with Radio Canada the other day, and the lady mentioned that in the eastern townships, school dropout rates are around 33%. And what we'd like to see is, you know, if we give these schools money to have sports, money to have arts, we genuinely think that students will stay in school for longer and will be more involved in school and have a feeling like they belong there. Another thing that we'd like to do is a zero tolerance policy on violence and intimidation in the classroom. A lot of schools have started to do this already, but what we'd like to see is a province-wide zero tolerance. You know, you have one strike, you're out, and it means that, you know, students are being held accountable, and the rest of the students aren't going to feel intimidated, and they're not going to feel like they can't go to class and can't go to school and not be safe when they go to school. And the last thing that we'd like to do is bring back the idea of separate classrooms. So, when I say separate classrooms, I mean for students with difficulties, we genuinely feel that for that, in order for them to learn better, they're going to need to have their own resources and special teachers to help them move along. And what I think we're going to see the rest of the classroom continue to move further because of it.
I see. So in your program, there will be dedicated special classes for students which cannot keep up at the same
exactly
level of schooling to avoid further load on the teacher by itself, because many teachers are not specialized in special education.
Yeah.
So this way it will not put a barrier in between the school population by itself, or discrimination. It will only be more facility will be available
exactly,
for children
yeah.
which need special need.
Mm-hmm.
So it will be looked upon as a very specific education for a very specific category of children, which it is at present time. It's a mix.
And, it is, yeah.
Like you pointed out, it is true. In a township, we have the highest dropout. It's very between 33 and 34%. Mm-hmm. But at the same token, in a township, we have the highest individual who has a PhD degree. So, you know, it's
yeah.
It's quite controversy there. To one extreme to the extreme of the education. This is something which is very particular to the township. If you don't mind, we'll go to the program. That is very important, because in a township, we don't have the highest percentage of senior, but we do have senior which have worries. And of course, it is the baby boomer which now are coming to join the club of senior. They're young senior, but I mean, eventually some will need home care. So mm-hmm. what is in the program of the ADQ for the caregiver itself?
Right. Well, the ADQ has a sort of another sort of unique program in this perspective. What we've seen is our healthcare system sort of overburdened, and our care system overburdened. And what we'd like to do is for those families that aren't currently using it, or that don't necessarily have the option of using it but need help from the government, we would like to provide them with $1,200 a year. And so that would be any family, even senior or otherwise, whether it be someone with special needs or any sort of needs that put restrictions on the family. What we'd like to see is them getting, each family getting $1,200 a year, and we hope that this will take the burden off our care system, thereby saving us money to help to do it. And we hope that it's going to allow families to keep those people with special needs in their family and keep that family together, and they'll be better off because of it.
Right, because generally speaking, it is better to stay home.
Mm-hmm.
If you do have the
exactly.
someone that might look,
and the government should give you the tools to do it, and that's our perspective, and that's where we come from on
right.
that issue.
That way it will bring down the cost, because having someone in a hospital or in a senior home specialized for giving care to senior, or it could be a child, it could be there's no discrimination as far as age is concerned. But it is true that the program which the ADQ has, there is no other present time, there is no government or which has given a sort of a subsidy to anyone who provide home care. If there is, for example, at the economic situation at present time, most of the senior worry, not only senior, but a lot of people do worry, but senior in particular, because they hear so many things about the economy, which will, of course, we see down in states across the border that a lot of families are losing their home, senior mm-hmm. losing their home, a lot of job lost. What the ADQ has in its program to be involved in putting the economy at first. Health is very important, but at present time, in this period of the year, the economy seems to be the number one worry.
Yeah.
And of course...
And we spoke about the economy yesterday.
Yeah, right? We did spoke about it, and there's a relation that, in particular, on senior... stress comes along to senior because they worry about their saving. I mean, they have worked all their life and mm-hmm. they worry about their saving. And it does affect their health. We spoke last night about the nurses, about the doctors, mm-hmm. The family group doctor, which the ADQ intend to be sure.
The cooperatives,
The cooperative, and also... a mixture of public and private. Now that worries in the private as far as private medical giver. It is a kind of worry because, as you know, in some countries, in particular down in States, if you mm-hmm. have a heart attack and you spend 5 days in intensive care,
next thing you know, you're broke.
It costs you about $80,000.
Yeah.
So this is one of the worry of our senior is that if there is a private caregiver given into the public field, they kind of worry about the cost that might be involved. Will they get a better service into the public or a better service into the private? Mm-hmm. And what they worry about is that if there is a private, then top surgeon will leave the public to go to the private.
Yeah, I think we're talking about the same old sort of two-tier.
Right.
You know, people always bring up the two-tier argument.
That's right.
So the two speeds, right?
It is a worry.
Yeah, it definitely is a worry. And I think what I've been telling people is, you know, I'm a student and I'm not rich and I wouldn't go around proposing that everyone else has to pay if they can't pay. I think all we're proposing is that people that can pay should pay and shouldn't necessarily get healthcare for free. And what we're saying is this would take the burden off the state for paying for, you know, all those people that can pay for healthcare. And hopefully it'll limit those people that go to the hospital for the flu or go to the hospital for, you know, a minor cough or something else. I know I don't have the statistics with me, but I do know that a lot of people go to the hospital for reasons that aren't, they don't need to go to the hospital for, and that ends up taking time and ends up backlogging the system. I think the United States is often cited as an example of what not to do, so I'm glad you brought it up, and I think we'll keep that in mind as what not to do, but I think not often enough are there examples of what to do. And I think if you look at Europe, there are European countries that have made a mixed healthcare system work. You know, France is an example, Germany, Spain, they've all made a mixed healthcare system work. And I think, you know, we've ended up with this extreme of the US on one side and Canada sort of at the complete other end of the spectrum. And where we want to be is in the middle. We don't want completely private healthcare like in the US. And we don't, I'd like to say that we don't want completely public healthcare because it ends up with, you know, 12.5 hours worth of waiting times. And somewhere in the middle, the private enterprise can help us meet that need. And, you know, we've tried this public system for the past 40 years. Our health system is very, very damaged. And the big, you know, even politicians that support public healthcare, you know, I remember Paul Martin, you know, like Paul Martin would go to the States and get private healthcare. and then come back and talk about how great public health care was, and talk about the great, you know, how good public health care was and how much we need to keep it. You know, we're being honest with people in Quebec and telling them that we've tried it for 40 years. Let's let some private enterprise in. Let's give them some rules to play by. Let's set some basic minimum standards. You know, one example could be doctors have to fulfill 30 hours per week in the public system, but they can do more on their own time in a private clinic that they run themselves. That would encourage doctors to work more. They would make more money. And ideally, more doctors would come to Quebec and be more willing to work in Quebec. And we all know that Quebec currently has a shortage of doctors.
So. Yeah, it does, because I was speaking recently to a top surgeon, and I was really surprised when he mentioned to me he's entitled to 2 afternoons a week to operate. It's not because there's not enough patient. I mean, mm-hmm. there's a whole waiting list, but there's only, he is in law, only 2 afternoons a week to operate. And if there were a private proposal like the IDQ proposed, that will eliminate some of those waiting lists, because that, for example, that particular surgeon then will be able to practice into a private clinic or private hospital. And at the same time, he will still have his 2 afternoons a week to operate on his patient
in the public system. Yeah.
So it will not jeopardize the public system by itself, but probably it will cut the waiting list.
Mm-hmm.
If someone, fortunately, there's some people who has more wealth than other. It's not a question that richer get a better service than the less one. It's only a question that when it comes down to public services, of course, it is public. It is the burden of the cost is spread out all over the taxpayer. But as you mentioned, the public system for the last 40 years, millions and billions has been invested,
yeah.
and we still have long waiting lists.
I mean, healthcare and education makes up around 60% of Quebec's budget, right? And the other parties continue to promise to keep spending more, and keep going beyond, you know, our means. And we spoke about the debt yesterday, and we spoke about the sort of impossibility of that, you know, this spending cycle that we've caught ourselves in, especially given that now we're in an economic downturn. I think that we haven't gone out there and said we're going to spend hundreds of millions of dollars to repair the healthcare system. We're actually providing people with a new solution and a different solution. And we're hoping that, you know, it's very easy to cite the U.S. as an example of what goes wrong. But, we want to follow those examples of what's gone right. One other thing I think that bears mentioning is it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be a system of two speeds or two tiers. I think if there is a possibility that, you know, if we arrange this properly, people can go in, and if they can't pay for it, they can just fill out a government form, and they should still be able to get it at the same time, at the same speed. It just means the government will pay for that private healthcare need. The current system that we have right now, I think that the people that use the most private healthcare is the Quebec government itself, and it's the Quebec government program that allows workers to go back to work that have been injured. That they're the largest users of private healthcare in Quebec right now, and not a lot of people know that. But it's, you know, it's funny that this government program is the biggest user of private enterprise themselves, and you know, you have the government here supporting public healthcare the entire time and publicly, and you know, privately you have this government program that is the biggest user of private enterprise in Quebec.
Mm-hmm. Like you mentioned, the budget for education and healthcare is somewhere around two-thirds of the total mm-hmm. Revenue of the government, and billions have been invested, and the result are really astonishing as far as the waiting list is, which is almost on every aspect
yeah.
of whatever you consult a physician or a surgeon. So, and you did mention that education too. There is a different approach from the ADQ as far as education is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
So all this, if it tied up together, means there will be less money required to be invested into both the education and the public health. So means that there will be more money available for example, for subsidy to industries to create jobs. And so that is the approach, if I understand, of the ADQ,
yeah,
is to put whatever is needed, changes is needed, to make sure that the education and the health is given its utmost, but at the same time taking those savings to put it where it is needed.
Where it's needed most, yeah.
Most, because the way it is going, there's not enough money, and that's the reason to, eventually government runs a deficit, because they cannot fulfill all the financial obligation of different ministry. Is there, you know, December 8 is a very important date, and by closing this interview, is a particular invitation you want to send to all eligible voters to go down and vote on December 8?
I mean, when Josh and I called the election, I think 70% of Quebec, you know, Quebec electors didn't want the election. And so I think a lot of people are in a tough position where they don't necessarily see any local issues. They don't necessarily see the, any, you know, any big issues in the campaign that they can really cling to. And, you know, they watched the leaders debate and they weren't sure who won. And now we're with this big mess federally, which hopefully got resolved yesterday, but it remains to be seen. And if I had one message to send to our listeners, it's that I hope that as a youth, you know, I'm a young candidate. I'm presenting myself as a young candidate. You know, I'm 24 years old. I hope that as a youth, if a 24-year-old is interested in politics and interested in helping his community and bettering his community, I hope that our listeners will be inspired themselves as well and go and vote on December 8th, no matter what party you vote for, you know, whether, you know, no matter what party you vote for. But I hope they'll be inspired and, you know, take, a lot of people are cynics, and, you know, I don't necessarily, I'm not a cynic. I think we can change things, and the best way to do it is to go vote.
Yeah, it is a very democratic value, mm-hmm, which we enjoy in Canada. And so you are indicating to all eligible voters to go down on December 8th and cast their vote, which is very important. It's to express themselves. And, well, we've been talking with Mr. Vince Marmion. He is the running candidate for the ADQ for the St. Francis running. And this is your host, Gerard. Thank you for coming down to our studio, Mr. Marmion.
Thank you for having me.